So this is, I guess, the evening entertainment slot. Welcome. So I think that was mentioned before, but I rather mention it again. All the talks here have a etherpad where someone in the audience or everyone in the audience should collaboratively take notes so others can understand maybe what questions were talked about. And you can find the link to the etherpad if you go to the listing of the program and go to the link of the talk on that wiki page. There's the etherpad linked. Please use that and please take notes. Okay, hello, my name is Jens Ohlig. I work with Wikimedia Deutschland here in Berlin. I've been with Wikidata for the last 5 years, so I was there when it all started. And I originally worked as a software developer, but in the last few years I worked mostly in communication. And the thing that I care about is data partnerships, talking to partners who want to put something into Wikidata. I believe that the next few sessions that we have in this room all have to do with getting stuff into Wikidata, but they come from very different angles. So my angle is the one of the organization behind the development of Wikidata and of the job that I do here. Someone comes to our organization and says, hey, you are the people who make Wikidata. I would like to put some stuff into it. And then usually an initial contact is established and I try to talk to them before handing them over to the community, of course. So it usually all starts with a donation or with someone who has this vague feeling that they could make better use of their data than just let it rot on some portal site that was developed in the late 90s. So they really want to share it with the world, and they heard that this Wikidata thing might be the right thing. So we don't deal with every data donation that goes into the Wikidata. Mostly we deal with a very tiny subset of that. The biggest chunk of these data donations still comes through volunteers, enthusiasts like Andy Mabbott, who is probably the hero of data liberation when it comes to Wikidata. But sometimes there are organizations that come to Wikimedia Deutschland and say, hey, we want to learn more about how to donate our data into Wikidata. For instance, in this year, I had talks with two organizations that were somehow convinced that their data and Wikidata were a good fit. One was the International Olympic Committee in Lausanne, and the other one was the EU Publication Office in Luxembourg. The International Olympic Committee has, of course, a lot of sports data, which is nice because who doesn't like sports data? It's probably one of the most attractive data set you could get. They also have very strict rules regarding copyright, trademarks of the Olympic rings. So eventually at some point these talks stalled, and we will see what comes out of that. Maybe in a few more months we will talk again, but for the moment, this was initiated by Wikimedia Switzerland, by Jenny Ebermann. For the moment, there doesn't seem to be much movement possible. They would be happy to donate it to Wikidata, but it's kind of problematic with the liberal licensing policy that we have. The other one is the EU Publication Office in Luxembourg, who of course collects all the publications by the EU and statistics. So another fun data set, another high profile data set. And I think in that case, something could come out of that. And I'm actually, at some point I will be looking for volunteers who can take over the task and who would like to work with people in Luxembourg on a pilot project. So this is how it usually starts. Someone sends an email to me, and then I try to find out what happens, and a few Skype calls later, and maybe some presentation and actually explaining what Wikidata is. Maybe something happens and comes out of it, or it doesn't. And this process, last year we did a little movie on that and explained how it usually works. So please enjoy the movie. It's only a few minutes long. Oops.
We explain how data donations to Wikidata work. This is Rachel. She works at a museum and loves her job because it means bringing knowledge to people. However, the museum is limited to one city. Shouldn't the knowledge collected in museums and archives be accessible to people all over the world? Rachel heard about Wikidata, a multilingual free knowledge base that can be read and edited by humans and machines alike. Cool. Wikidata contains millions of items, each representing different information: a person, a place, or a piece of art. The community of volunteers maintains this data, but the information has to be contributed. Like many other galleries, libraries, and archives, Rachel decides to contribute to Wikidata. First, she collects, cleans, and prepares the data for digitizing. Then, Rachel talks to the contributors of Wikidata that take care of data uploads. With their help, Rachel can now add her museum's treasure chest of data to Wikidata. Data shared in Wikidata becomes free knowledge, released into the public domain. Others can query Wikidata and build upon it. Wikidata is used by the Wikimedia projects, such as Wikipedia, and also by many other websites and applications. Like a mobile app that can give information on pieces of art around the user. Because Rachel likes to see the different ways her uploaded data is used, she regularly checks the data and updates it if necessary. Rachel is happy. The knowledge that her museum offers is now available worldwide in almost 300 languages, ready to be used by anyone. By donating data to Wikidata, she has helped to give more people more access to more knowledge. The museum is now much larger than the city it is located in. If you also want to learn how to contribute and donate your data, visit wmde.org/data-donation.
So, that it is. That is that. We really try to boil everything down, but some of the points that we made in this little animation video are actually very important to us, and we try to, for instance, mention the copyright aspect, and Wikidata is not a data junkyard where you just go in with a big truck, unload everything, and then drive off and never come back again. The idea would be that they come as institutions and they stay as community. Sometimes this happens, sometimes it doesn't. So that would be an initial contact that we have, and maybe I would give a presentation just like this and maybe show this little movie. And then they would ask me about how that upload would actually work. And the metaphor that I like best for that is that of the data pipeline. I, of course, didn't come up with that myself, but it is something that is that comes from an organization called the School of Data. And data has to be found first, acquired, verified, cleaned up, and analyzed, and then in the end you can present that. So this is a data pipeline process for, let's say, data journalism, but presentation of data you have internally in an organization. I think for Wikidata that process should be a bit different, and we should think about what elements of that pipeline we actually work on at the moment, which of them are good. So you have to prepare the data. First, you have, of course, to acquire that, and then talk to the institution and make them understand what would be a good data set for a pilot project. So usually they say, we want to upload all our data, and then after a few minutes of talking, both parties usually realize that it would be best to start with a smaller subset. So after you have identified that subset and maybe cleaned it up, you have to describe the data, import the data into a spreadsheet, define the data structure in Wikidata, maybe add some new properties and wait for them to be added to Wikidata, and then reformat the data in the spreadsheet again. So this iteration of the data pipeline actually doesn't come from me, but it comes from John Cummings, who was mentioned here at that conference several times. It's bad that he isn't with us today, but he couldn't come. But I thought Stuart has... Yeah, you try to replace him in some way. Okay, with John Cummings, who is a Wikimedian in residence at the UNESCO, I'm sure he will be mentioned several times later. That was actually a great gift for understanding how this process should work, or rather understanding how little of a process we actually have. Because he tried to document it, he ran into all the pitfalls and all the things that could happen on the way, and he made some mistakes, and that was actually a good thing, because that gave us a chance to actually document what kind of process we had. At the Wikimedia conference earlier this year, we had a little talk about that. And we wanted to find a metaphor how to work together and donate the data. So it's very tricky to find a metaphor that is culturally universal for such an international audience like yourself. So what would be something that everyone in this world knows and can relate to? Maybe the Beatles, or maybe Harry Potter. So that metaphor that John developed was it's actually muggles and wizards working together, and I've prepared it's not me, but I was given them some scrolls, so here you go. They describe the process that we have. Yeah, I have actually more, and maybe you can pass them around. So the process of data donation and uploading is described in the scroll, and maybe it will not instantly turn you into a wizard, but it will make you more less of a muggle, hopefully so. Then comes the part where we actually do the importing. Mix and match could be one of the tools that you could use, quick statements. You have to match it against existing Wikidata items, etc., etc. So this is usually where the hand waving and it depends begins, because usually every data set is very different, and it is, I don't think we will ever see a manual that explains how to import random data of any structure into Wikidata. And we can only say, and then some magic happens, and then boof, the data is in Wikidata. That is kind of frustrating, because this is usually not what the institutions want to hear. But at that point, you should really ask them to turn to the community and let them let the community help them, which also can be frustrating because they made a contact with you, with the professional, right? And they want to talk with the professional one and not to some random people on the internet. This is actually one of the problems that I think this whole data donation process has at the moment. So a typical procedure would be, yeah, there's an initial contact, then we are identifying a data set for a pilot project, the data is collected and cleaned up, and then this contact to the community happens, and then the upload happens. Again, another wonderful work by John Cummings is the portal for the data donations, which you all should visit because it contains links and text on all the parts of that data donation process. I can see from my point of perspective, and that is probably very different from the perspective that the activists out in the field actually liberating data like Andy Mabbitt have, or that institutions might have, we all might have very different perspectives, but I can see two things where we can radically improve. One is contacting the community. There are portals and discussion pages, and somehow we can contact people. What I would really like is some way where I just open a magical drawer, get out a list of names, and then say, these are people in the community, talk to them. I trust them, and they will do a wonderful job. It can be frustrating if you write something on a discussion page and yeah, nothing happens from that. Or that is usually only something that very, very motivated institutions would like to do. The other point where we can radically improve is tools. There is no big friendly upload button on Wikidata, and that is for a reason. We don't really want data to be uploaded at any cost, and we don't want it to be the junkyard of information on the internet where anyone just uploads data. We want data to be curated. So the big friendly upload button will never happen, but frankly, the tools we offer for people who want to do the actual work right now, it's kind of an insult. It's not really what I expect from software in 2017. I think this is the one big missing puzzle piece that we have. And we should think about how that could be done better, maybe with programmers who are paid to do something like that. I've seen some very inspiring work, like the Glam Pipe. I also like OpenRefine a lot. Of course, we all love quick statements because basically it's all we got at the moment. But maybe we would love something else even more. Who knows? So, contacting the community, it's not easy. I would like to see some easier way for that, and I would like to see some tools who are easier. That's it. I gave you a short overview of how I see the process at the moment, and I would like to hear your questions, and I'm also very, very, very interested in all the talks that follow this one, because I'm interested in all the other perspectives that we have. I think we still have time for questions, right? Doesn't have to be a question, can also be a remark.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
Oh, speaking of the tools, And maybe this is a question for the room, maybe informal poll. If we could start to kind of grow up some of these tools, take them out of the kind of the prototype stage, which would you start with? What's the most critical first step?
And for me, I have seen many that I find inspiring, but basically I think throwing energy on any of them would improve the situation. So I can see that giving Glampipe some love would improve the situation. Same with OpenRefine.
Oh, Andy. I'll just add to that answer, actually. As well as improving the tools, I think it would be good to put some resource into documenting what we already have.
Mm-hmm.
Because even I find it quite difficult sometimes to find out how the damn things work.
That's maybe true, yeah. We tried to do some improvement on documentation last year. We had two documentation sprints at the hackathon in Vienna and at Wikimania, but there's so much to do still. And more volunteers needed. Yeah. Also, what I would like to see is to be a bit mature about how we share knowledge and maybe say, okay, we really need to strengthen that community, and we need to find a way to, say, train the trainers and grow that community. At the moment, I know this handful of very passionate, enthusiastic people, but that is not sustainable.
Yeah, what is your experience when it comes to the question of skills to deal with these tools which are already existing in the institutions, GLAM institutions and so on? So would it help to offer, let's say, manpower, we can help you doing this and so on? That would mean maybe that some kind of a Wikimedia financed project would be set up or so, but this could create an increase of the community as well. When you train then and so on, were you thinking about such a thing? Because there's obviously some gap which has to be closed.
Yeah, regarding the skills that are available at institutions, I can give a very definitive. It depends. So there are institutions like the New York Public Library who had their own coders on board and just informed us that they were doing something. And then later we found out that they did everything on their own. And it was wonderful. And there are other institutions that, need to have their hands hold in every step of the process, because it's also scary, because it has to do something with ones and zeros. It really depends. What I would find problematic is if that work with the institutions would really rely on paid staff. That is not really in the spirit of the community project. That's really not acceptable. We need to somehow bootstrap that. And maybe in the fifth year of Wikidata, that would be something that we should think about.
I really liked your initial remarks about the donors arriving as donors, as institutions, and staying as community. I think there's much truth in that. Even starting with such a simple question like working hours, the community has time on the weekends or in the evenings, and the professionals who could also wear the community hat, and our best people do, work during their professional work hours during the week, and even there is not much overlap. I think if you go this way with the multipliers, and I agree with Georg, there's lots of interest. We, for instance, as DDB, would be happy to chip in with personal resources and money too, if you wanted to bootstrap this, as you said.
Yeah, we'll definitely get back to that, Stefan. send you the bill.
Last question.
Yeah, I'd agree with the people arriving as donors and staying as community members, definitely, and can be very, very productive and helpful community members. But just thinking more on the division of responsibility between the foundation, the chapters, the community in terms of delivering tools, how do we do it so we run an efficient project, yet still the community are largely in charge of making decisions and prototyping things? Or would it be easier for the foundation to throw a load of money at it and make these tools for the community? I don't know what your kind of thoughts on that again, I guess.
I could rephrase.
I don't really know. If you put it like, the foundation should just throw money at that and not have the community involved, of course, that would be a storm of protest. And this is not something that anyone in this room wants. On the other hand, I think at some point we will need professional resources for developing the software. So, as usual, a mix of both. But that doesn't make us any smarter, because that's a situation we are already in, right?
And sorry to cut you short on this, but we have to end and give Andy the chance to upload his presentation. Thank you very much.